And then we've prayed. The prayer was, Lord, knows a lot of people that could help us in this situation. Move on somebody's heart that you would use and have them specifically say Australia or New Zealand. You have them bring it up. And when they do, we will know.
This is incredible. And I thought, well, maybe since it looks like I've passed this test and I really feel like Father's smiling down on me, that maybe just around the corner, we'll have our breakthrough.
The exact hopes that we've had, the leadings of God we've had, the belief that we've had of how I was going to get there, the providence of all the sailing. I mean, this has just been absolutely incredible to see this happen. And the timing of this is astonishing.
Absolutely.
Astonishing.
I mean, he could have been sitting there for 5 years waiting for somebody that he knows to mention Australia or New Zealand.
Oh, darling. Well, baby, honestly, of all the things that have happened so far in this story, I think what I'm getting ready to tell you is the most unbelievable thing of all. I'm having a hard time getting my head wrapped around it.
Okay. This is sounding exciting.
Yes, honey, it's beyond exciting. It's so impossible that I'm sitting here. I'm literally like, I could almost weep over it. I was just excited. I was just like, I couldn't believe it. And so anyhow, just to capture the context of this is today I've just recorded, as you know, you contacted me this morning, my phone was off, and I've just finished recording the commentary that the episode 78 is going to open up with.
Yes.
Episode 78 is going to be titled, When God Puts Your Faith on a Stretching Rack.
Right.
And so, as you know, yesterday I felt led to begin to record at the beginning of this episode a list summarizing all of God's previous requests of me to walk into things that were very risky, dangerous, and certainly impossible. And then how oftentimes as I moved forward, the circumstances got even more difficult in the face of moving forward. God allowed there to be things that would show this will never happen apart from me. And then what you see is, with the exception of Peanut coming back, every single one of these events in the past 13 years, and including a few from back 2001, 20 years ago, 21 years ago, you see that God came through. And so at the beginning of this list, I talk about the impossibility of me getting to New Zealand, and it looks like the impossible circumstances.
Can you just pause?
What, sweetheart? Can I pause? Okay, say that last part again because I had paused the recording. Say what you just said again. You're saying to me that you're hearing me, I'm cutting out a lot. So what did you just say again?
So I was thinking if what you're saying to me is really important, I wouldn't be surprised if something interrupts this conversation that we're having. And then as soon as I thought that, you started to cut out. And yeah, big chunks are missing
right. From
what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the good news is that my recorder will have caught it. You're not hearing it. But let me do this. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to put my phone, because Tyler has texted me, I'm going to put my phone in do not disturb mode. Yeah, I don't think there's any way around it. I'm trying to think if I put my headphones in, then I can't capture. So you've already explained your part. Let me put the headphones back on.
Okay.
Okay, so now I've got you here. Okay. No, that's okay, darling. That's all right. As long as we capture, you know, what I'm, you know, my part of the story here, that should be fine. And okay, testing 1, 2. There we go. That should be good. I'm pacing towards the microphone. Okay. Okay, sweetheart. So, God help me to remember. Huh? Yeah, hold on to your seats, honey. I mean, this is really just, this is astonishing to think about this. Okay. So, I have made this recording. I've written it all out yesterday, and this morning I went first thing in the morning I did something I haven't done in months. I went to Starbucks at, I was there by 6:30 this morning. I woke up, I listened to one of my Christian audiobooks. I turned it off. I prayed for a little while and I said, Lord, I'm just going to get up and go to work straight away this morning. No going to the trail, no sitting down to read devotions. I'm just going to go straight to work. I've done my devotion time in bed. So I went and I finished writing this 20-minute intro for this next video. And when I turned my phone on from having just recorded this, I get this text from brother. The situation has just got even more bizarre. I just got on the phone with can I call you, you know, type of thing. To our utter shock and amazement, this guy calls and tells him, I just put an offer on a sailboat 1 hour ago. A 50, honey, you haven't heard anything yet. A 51-foot catamaran with 4 staterooms. It's a sailing yacht, 2009 model, that this guy dumped all this money into. And then suddenly his health went in the toilet and he's got to sell the boat and he's wanting to hurry up and do it because he's buying some property in Canada. He needs the boat to be sold by September 15th. So you understand that this guy, who has brought up several times now as the possibility of, hey man, this guy used to sail. He was a captain and he sailed all over the world. He came off the water. He went to work for, you know, this company that so forth and so on. He was flying for them for all these years. Now he's having to retire. He wants to get back into sailing, but he doesn't have a boat. So this guy has never had a boat, even though Dan has kept bringing him up as a guy who somehow or another could maybe help get me to New Zealand, but he doesn't have a boat. So the idea of him just, you know, buying a boat and it's just going to happen to work out that the timing works out for him to buy a boat to help get me to New Zealand, that's just kind of like far-fetched. You understand? That's just really far-fetched. That might be one of those things like, you know, down the road. So he calls today and he says, brother, you won't believe it. I've put an offer in on a boat and an hour ago, sweetheart, you will not believe where the boat is. He said, he gave the guy a name. He said, it's just off the coast of Australia and New Zealand. So it gets better. So this guy needs this boat sold and he needs it moved by September 15th. Apparently, where it's sitting is in a typhoon area, and you have to have the boat gone or you have to have the boat stored, dry storage, which costs thousands of dollars. Otherwise, you have to pay massive insurance to your insurance company. So apparently a lot of people put their boats during this typhoon season in Australia or New Zealand. He's listening to this guy talk about how he just put in an offer on the boat an hour ago and he's the only fish on the hook right now. So is the only guy looking at this boat right now, and the guy has to have it sold by September 15th. Okay? And it's off the coast of Australia. You following the story so far? Okay, so yeah, it gets crazier. Right. Yeah. So he's going to have to fly to Australia to get the boat and get it to, and then he said, what I'm going to do, he says, well, where are you going to take the boat? He goes, oh man, I'm going to sail it to New Zealand. Yes way. He said, it's 900 miles away. He said, Mike, he told me how many miles it was to sail the boat from where it's at to New Zealand. He's going to put the boat in New Zealand from where he said it's at. Correct. So we are sitting here going, you have got to be kidding me. I mean, what are the chances of this? I said, brother, oh man, it gave me goosebumps. I was just so excited. I'm just amazed. Yes. So Yes. So suddenly you look at this situation and you just ask yourself, what are the chances ever in the history of 1,000 lifetimes of something like this happening, where Ben and I have already conjectured that the best way to get me into New Zealand is to fly me to Australia and sail me to New Zealand? And him constantly bringing up this guy who was a captain, who's now a pilot, who's retiring and going back to be a captain, yet who doesn't have a boat. And suddenly he calls and tells him, I've just made an offer on a boat an hour ago. Where is the boat? The boat is in between Australia and New Zealand. And where is he taking it? He's not taking it to Australia. He's taking it to New Zealand. We don't know that part yet. He is going to fly. So I said, this is exactly what we have prayed for. This is exactly what we prayed for. It couldn't be any more perfect. No, it couldn't. We prayed and felt that somehow or another would get me to Australia, and that then somebody would sail me from Australia to New Zealand. That's what we had always thought would happen. So now the situation is, we have these sailing providences that I've even just mentioned in the last week. I went and collected all the scriptures that talked about sailing. You and I just read Acts chapter 27. There's all these mentions. You even just mentioned one about King Solomon finding all the experienced sailors who were shipmen, you know, whatever. And so you remember that. Yeah. So all of these providences about sailing. And then we've prayed. The prayer was, Lord, knows a lot of people that could help us in this situation. Move on somebody's heart that you would use, and have them specifically say Australia or New Zealand. You have them bring it up. And when they do, we will know. I have a link to see this boat that he's buying. And apparently it is super nice. It's all been completely redone. It's 51 foot. So we're talking about a huge boat. It's not some little tiny rinky-dinky boat. So it's a very, very nice boat. I mean, it'd be like a sailing yacht type of thing. So, to me, this is Hanamel. What we're doing now is, what I believe the next move is, I said, brother, if buys the boat, that is our sign we're to move forward with. I say, if he buys this boat and this deal works out, then we're going to know we need to step in by faith and tell this unbelievable story that's going on behind the scenes that he has no idea about. Yes, baby. When he was telling me this, I was just like, I stepped into another world, like where you just like, you can't believe what you're hearing. Now, of course, I believe it because I have seen God do these kind of things for the last, you know, better part of 20 years. But yet you see this and you talk about how powerful the arm of the Lord is. You look at, I mean, honestly, ask yourself, what would have been the chances of this happening a year ago, much less with 7 days until the 25th? And so anyhow, here we are inside this, you know, amazing situation. The amazing timing of this. And the circumstances, I mean, of all places for this guy to buy a boat, and then of all places for him to decide where he's going to winter it, in New Zealand, he tells, he goes in, brother, I just want to tell you, you and are going to be on that boat. He tells him that. He goes, you guys are going to be on that boat. No. Yeah, this is really quite amazing. Yes. And then the boat has to be gone. It has to be gone and moved by like September 15th. So you can see how the situation is squeezed in such that he has to act fast. He can't just buy the boat and let it sit there. He has to fly out almost immediately. Not only that, but he's wanting to do a water test with it. He's wanting to fly over and water test it and take it out on the seas. And he said the guy's not, you know, wanting to let him do that right off the, you know, or whatever. So, but he says, I'm the only guy that can buy it. He says, I'm the only fish on the hook that he's got right now. So the guy doesn't, I don't think the guy's got much choice. So it could be that, yeah, this whole thing is just incredible. It's just incredible. Okay, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, so now that you're talking, I want you to say on speaker. So what were you saying? You said that...
Yeah, I said, you know, with what happened with them and how we got excited and, well, I got my hopes up and thought, okay, this is it. You know, this is the door. You know, finally, turning up at his house when we thought that was going to happen months ago and he never showed up. And here he is showing up. This has to be it. This has to be the door. And then with that coming and going and, you know, basically the door gets slammed shut because it's like, well, no, I can't have any passengers. And then what was the other thing? Well, because they're really strict. And there was some other, can you remember what it was? There was some other...
They didn't buy those planes. They put an offer on them, but they didn't buy them. And we were shocked that it was of all the plane companies in the world, why was it that they were trying to buy planes from Air New Zealand and that they were going to...
That's right.
I mean, that was just unbelievable.
That's right. Thanks. I just couldn't bring it up
right
in my memory right now. So, yeah, so there was that. And it was like, of all the chances, and like we had been praying that someone would bring up New Zealand. Well, finally brings up New Zealand and he starts talking to Dan about this and he's getting excited thinking, oh my gosh, this is it. And then he says, oh, but we didn't buy the planes. And I was like, "Hey!" And it's like, oh my gosh, you know, you get excited thinking this is it. And then the rug gets pulled from underneath your feet. And it's like, you've got to be kidding. It's like the close but no cigar.
Yes.
And it was, and you know, like I instantly thought, this is a sick, cruel joke. Like, why would God even allow this to come up, even allow to visit and talk about all of this, and then for the door to be completely slammed shut, you know? It would appear that God is playing this sick, cruel joke on us.
Yes.
And I thought, no, this is how the world would see it, and this is how your feelings, you know, could see it. But I really believe that, and I know it's God's grace, it wasn't me, but I really felt like, even though I could see it, like it could be seen as a cruel, sick joke, I didn't allow myself to feel it, and I didn't allow myself to get angry with God and get disappointed and depressed over it. It's like I still had the hope. I still had the faith, and I was determined to continue to believe that everything that God allows is out of love for us. Everything, you know? And even though it doesn't feel like love, he does it out of love. And so I just had to continue to believe that, and I just felt this peace. And I couldn't believe it. I was actually quite confused because I was thinking, I shouldn't feel at peace right now. I should be feeling really angry towards God, really disappointed, really upset with him. But I just stayed in this state of peace and trust. And I'm like, this is you, God. This is your grace to me. And I really felt that he was pleased with me, like I had passed another test. And I've said this before. I felt like I stayed in a place of having a good attitude where I wasn't grumbling and complaining or turning my back on the Lord or
yes.
getting angry or upset with him. So this is, I feel like this is the second time round now
yes.
that my, you know, I've kept a good attitude. I've kept my eyes on the Lord, and I've refused to grumble and complain
yes.
or say that he's anything but a good God, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of really noticed that. It really stood out, and I wondered mm-hmm. if this was going to be the final test. Like, I just
mm-hmm.
wondered.
Mm-hmm.
So this
yes.
this mm-hmm. is this is incredible. And I thought, well, maybe since it looks like I've passed this test and I really feel like Father's smiling down on me, that maybe just around the corner we'll have our breakthrough.
Yes, wow.
And now this has happened. And now this has happened, and I'm just amazed.
Yes, honey. This is one of those things that is just totally unexplainable to the natural mind, totally indescribable. You know, I told, can you imagine if could put his finger on this story, if he could begin to understand the weight of this story that's been going on behind the scenes, of which he has no idea, that God may very well be moving in his life in such a way to fulfill part of his purpose in ours.
Yes.
It so specifically relates. I'll tell you another thing remarkable is, you know, I've been seeing the 358 a lot. I just saw it, you know, just now, and that's what made me think of it. I looked down at 35 minutes and 8 seconds, and I said, brother, I just walked into the kitchen. It's 358. I said, let me read Isaiah 358 for you about God making a way, a highway of holiness that only the righteous will be able to travel on. I said, it's about God making a way that nobody else can travel on except for his children. And I said, I've been seeing this for a long time, and it felt like God was showing me, I'm going to make a way for you that's the road less traveled, that you're going to go a way that nobody else would go on, you know, type of thing. So, you know, we've talked about this a lot. You know, we won't know, honey, until God buys that boat. We prayed that God would have favor upon this. Like, if Lord, if this is your way that you've chosen for me to get there, that you've been telling us about, that we've been praying about, this could not more specifically meet the exact hopes that we've had, the leadings of God we've had, the belief that we've had of how I was going to get there, the providence of all the sailing. I mean, this has just been absolutely incredible to see this happen. And the timing of this is astonishing.
Absolutely.
Astonishing.
I mean, he could have been sitting there for 5 years waiting for somebody that he knows to mention Australia or New Zealand. I mean, let's be fair. I mean, the chances, you know?
Yes, honey, it's exactly right.